What's up, crew? Good to see y'all here. What's up, Benji? Okay, good set today. So, do any of you have a vague idea of last week? Can I remember it a little bit? If I ask you a question, where was Israel stuck? You remember where they got stuck at? That was good. Like, exact. So, good studying, I love it. Yeah, they were hemmed in, trapped in the wilderness on the brink of the Red Sea. And it was a dead end, right? Had the chariot of like 600 of them coming down, they're being chased. How about this? Oh, come on in, Maddie. So what did God reveal he would do as Israel cried out in fear of the Pharaoh's chariots? What did God do? Yes, exactly those words. That's good. He who God would... God would fight for them and save them from the Egyptians. Okay? When God says what he's going to do, he's going to do it. It's his promises. No one can change God's decision. It is what it is on those. So I'm going to go and read these questions, and then we'll go into the scripture. Sound good? You guys good? All right, cool. So we're going to go say, so what protected the Israelites from the armies of Pharaoh? So think about that. So what protected them? What did the Lord do to the sea, and what did Israel do as a result? So keep that in mind. And then lastly, what happened to Pharaoh's chariots and armies? So kind of keep those in thought. And with everyone here and listening today, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to go through verses 19 through 31. Exodus 14, 19 through 31 on those verses. And I'll just begin reading from there. Then the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was a cloud among with the darkness, yet it gave light at night. Thus, the one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Okay, and Yahweh swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea into dry ground. So the waters were split. There's that moment, the splitting and parting of the Red Sea. 22 says, so the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea onto the dry land, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So they clarify, those waters were pretty much a wall. Then the Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. And then at the morning watch, Yahweh looked down on the camp of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the camp of Egyptians into confusion. And he caused their chariot wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for Yahweh is fighting for them against the Egyptians. They were afraid. Then Yahweh said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over the chariots, and over the horsemen. Verse 27, so Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. And then Yahweh overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. Even the Pharaoh's entire army had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. Oof. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them, and on their right and on their left. Thus Yahweh saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And then Israel saw the great hand which Yahweh had used against the Egyptians. And the people feared Yahweh, and they believed in Yahweh and his servant Moses. So a lot to read and a lot to build up on, right? A lot happened. They were stuck at the brink of the Red Sea. They were scared the Egyptians were coming. But God, through his miracles, allowed the parting of the Red Sea, not only to allow them safe passage through that miracle, but also to stop the Egyptians with his mighty power. So what protected the Israelites from the armies of Pharaoh in that time? What was falling with them? Do you remember? Yes, angel. That's cool. Yeah, the angel of God and the pillar of cloud moved behind Israel to block a way between them and the Egyptians. If you're chasing after that, a giant fire pillar of cloud, I wouldn't want to do that. But these Egyptians got really brave and thought, hey, we can just go challenge that. Not a good idea. Okay, good answer. So what did the Lord do to the sea and what did Israel do as a result? So what did the Lord do to the sea first? Yes, he divided the waters so they were like a wall on each side. And what was the result? Israel passed through the sea on dry ground. Interesting, you're walking through oh, you know how tall it was, I couldn't get you a number, but to walk on dry ground through an ocean like that, that's kind of insane. So yeah, they watched it, and this was what we consider a miracle of God and his grace. He allowed that to happen. But then what happened to Pharaoh's chariots and armies? Yeah, they did. They got destroyed. They went after Israel into the sea, and the Lord crashed the waters down on them, destroying them all. Remember, not even one remained. Wow, 600 plus chariots, horsemen. That's a lot of money, people, time. But so let's go into some other stuff. So with that said, the main idea I was trying to get to point today, which we talked about, is the Lord divided the waters, and Israel passed through the sea on dry ground. So Israel, remember, was trapped, okay? Behind them was Pharaoh with his armies preparing to kill them. And around them were mountains too big to climb. And in front of them was the Red Sea. So you're looking at all angles, and it's looking pretty impossible. It's looking pretty dark. They had not gone forward, to the side, or back. Could the Lord really save them like he said he would, right? So at that moment, they're having to learn, do we trust him? Is this the God of all creation? Do we trust this God? But when it seemed impossible, God, the miracles, divided the waters to make safe passageway through the Red Sea on the other side, okay? We go into Hebrews 11:29. It says, Israel passed through the sea on dry ground by faith. There's the big point, by faith in God. So God worked in saving power, and Israel answered in faith and obedience, okay? Much like what we do. They went forward through the sea, not fearing the waves that could have crashed back down on them. So they had faith in that, because they thought any moment that could have just crashed down, but they trusted their God. And as God saves his people through his mighty works, his people must respond, that's a big one, must respond to those works by faith, just like Israel at the sea. And so when Israel made it safely on the other side, Pharaoh's armies came after them. So they're coming after them. But the Lord stopped the wheels of the chariots and made them get stuck. Okay, so we're getting back into that. And the Lord commanded the waters to come down on them, noting again his power. And they all drowned, and Israel was set free from the Egyptians once and for all. Finally, at that point, because remember it was prophesied through Abraham that for 400 years they'd been enslaved, and now God brought his people out of slavery and that. The Lord proved himself to be a mighty warrior king who defeats the enemies of his people. And as Israel stood safely on their side, they looked back and saw their enemies, right? Their dangers, their fears, all drowned in the sea. So you look back and see what God's done, and God defeated all that. He took care of it. Washed them away. And as they looked forward, they saw a glorious, hopeful future ahead of them, right? Because they just came from a really dark place. What does the New Testament say? It says, it teaches that this is a picture of baptism, right? Israel was separated from the Egyptians. They were born again as a nation and set apart to worship God. He took care of his people. But the most important birth of all is the new birth, by which God frees his people from spiritual slavery forever. So now, how should we respond to God's saving deeds in history? How would y'all respond to that? Yes, by faith. By faith, trusting in God's actions reveals his grace. The grace act of God, which we know is accomplished through the cross of Christ. Good, thank you. All right, two more questions. How does the truth that God is a warrior king comfort his people? What does that bring comfort to us for? Yes. You study this. Yes. Benji. Yeah. Someone's teaching her. No. That's good. What's up, Benji? Okay, you can ask it later. No problem. But yeah, so you're right, exactly. He assured them that they do not have to fight their battles alone. And we've learned if we try to fight our battles alone, it never goes well, right? Could they have won that without God? Probably not. They'd have been defeated very quickly. And the Lord will fight for them, right, and defeat sins that seem impossible to overcome. Now, here's a big question. What is the importance, what is the most important birth of all? It's a big question. Yes.
Jesus and God.
Yeah, in the sense of the new birth that Christ talks to, like, let's say, with Nicodemus, right? Because Nicodemus was like, oh, how would you be born again? I was already born once from my mom. And Christ knew him, he had to be born again in the sense of to be born again, born of God's Spirit, which is a miracle of the gospel grace that makes us new on the inside. You hear the gospel, right? He draws you in. You do your part to trust and repent and trust in the Lord and Savior. And then ultimately that Spirit comes in you and dwells in you. And then you become changed. You start showing obedience in the word, desiring of the word, loving the believers. Okay, that change, to be born again. But what do we need? What do we need, though? We need a new heart, right? We have a heart of stone. He provides and changes to heart of flesh when we trust in him and we turn from our ways. And a new spirit to worship God in righteousness and true holiness as he deserves. So a lot came in just from, you thought it was just a parting of the Red Sea, but there's all about the new birth, all about the miracles of God has done. So thank you for listening. Let's go ahead and pray that we all understand that new birth, the walk in that through progressive sanctification too as believers. So Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for the word that you've just allowed us to be the hands and feet to preach to one another. May we preach the truth of that word and know that it's a terrifying thing to come up here and talk about the word, knowing the magnitude of your truth, to handle it properly and to speak that truth. Help us all try to stay in that lane to speak truth to one another through the word. And thank you again. It's in your name we pray, amen.